Lord, our God, this morning we ask that as we listen to the truth of your words, that you help us to recognize them and apply them to our lives. We make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Last week we began a new series called What's So Great About the Gospel, in which we're taking a look at this small book in Philippians. There's only four chapters in it, and we're looking at one concept or one verse in each one of those chapters, and talking about what is so wonderful about this gospel of Jesus Christ. What is it that's so spectacular? Why are we here? Why do we celebrate it at all? And last week we began with chapter 1 and specifically looked at verse 6, which says, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it on the day of Christ Jesus." Well, we didn't get through all of that verse, and so today we're going to finish it. But before we finish it, I want to go back and sort of refresh your memory as to where we did, what we did last week. Last week, we said that Paul in this verse, he starts with the most important word, and that is the word he. And he, of course, referring to God, that Paul is talking about that everything that has happened, all the things that have happened that have been positive and good, your whole spiritual journey, God's calling you to faith in himself, all starts with what God has done. It's his power. So Paul begins with this he, referring to God, because you and I didn't start anything. It's all about what God has done in the past, what he's doing in the present, and what he's going to do in the future. And then we went on to the second part of that, the other two words. We said, he who began. We said that little phrase, who began, means that you're not finished, that God isn't finished with you yet, which means that you're still a work in progress, which means that your life is going to have some ups and some downs. Your life at times might be crushed by experiences that you have. We also said that he who began, it's not finished yet. And so, therefore, you're going to have to wait on God. And we talked a little bit about how much we hate to wait. But we said that Isaiah talks about those who wait on the Lord, their strength is going to be renewed. In other words, as you wait for God and as he's doing something inside of you, if you can wait patiently, if you can wait without giving in to temptation or without giving in to sin, without becoming depressed, without going into despair over God's supposed inactivity in your life, if you can wait and do all of that and still be faithful to God, that means that God is going to be working in you and doing good things inside of you. Because, and this is what we said was the key to waiting, because who you are as you wait, or who you become as you wait, is as important as what you are waiting for. He who began a good work. And that's the third part that we talked about. That God never does shoddy, poor work. He never cuts any corners in what he does. It's always excellent. It's always at the right time. He's always at the right place. He always has the right thing going on. In the Old Testament, there's a little book called Habakkuk. Again, I think it's only four chapters long. And things are not going well for Israel when Habakkuk is the prophet. And so what he does is he prays to God and he asks God, God, I know that you've done amazing things in the past. What I'm praying for and what I would like on behalf of your people is I would like you to recreate some of those amazing things that you've done in the past. I want you to do those for us today. I think we have that same prayer for God. We know about all of the wonderful things God has done in history. We would like for some of those same wonderful things. We would like his power, his justice, his love, his mercy, his guidance, his compassion to be displayed in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our corporations, in our politics, in our schools, in our medical policies, in our immigration policies. We would like to see that same kind of amazing works that God has done in the past displayed in our time. That's what it is. That's what it's about. But then we looked at the last part. We said after those first few phrases, he who began a good work, we said that Paul turns a corner and he makes it personal. That God's not just doing a good work. in the cosmos, in the universe. He's doing a good work in you. What is it that he's doing? Well, he's forgiving your sin. He's trying to build and strengthen and purify your character. He's trying to get you to display and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, forgiveness. He's working on you so that you see that you have a specific purpose in his grander plan. Those are some of the things that God is working in you. That's what he's doing. That sort of brings us up to speed for where we what we did last week. Now we're going to sort of look at the rest of this verse. It says, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it." Faithful to complete it. There's a hymn that we sing. It's an old hymn. We don't sing it a lot. It's called "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And the words go like this: "Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with you." In other words, there's no question about his integrity. "Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness." When Moses was giving his last sermon, his last speech to the people of Israel, the thing that he said to them was basically this: if you don't hear anything else that I say, I want you to do two things. I want you to remember to be obedient to God, but then this is the second thing he says. I want you to remember that God keeps his covenant to his people for 1,000 generations. In other words, for infinity, for eternity. God is faithful to you. The psalmist said it this way. He said, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all that he does." And it's that little word "all" that sort of gets to us. In other words, God isn't faithful just in a little bit. God isn't faithful here occasionally. God isn't faithful when the mood strikes him. God is faithful all the time, in every place, in every situation. It's his DNA. He can't do anything else. He can't be any other way than faithful. I'm not like that. Neither are you. Only God is. There's been an email that's circulated. I got this from a friend of mine last year, and it's called the Six Phases of a Project. Maybe you've seen it. And it sort of describes the human condition. When I put it up there, you might recognize your company or the government or somebody in this, but this is sort of the way it goes. You begin a project with a lot of enthusiasm. Everybody's excited about what you're going to be doing. But then as you move into it, you become a little more disillusioned because you realize it's going to be a little more difficult and more challenging than you expected. Well, as you move through into that disillusionment, then panic starts to set in because you realize, you know what, this wasn't a good idea and the timing wasn't right and we don't have the resources or we don't have the people. And so panic starts to set in because we aren't going to get this done. Well, that leads to the fourth thing, and that's the search for the guilty. Well, of course, there's no guilty people. And usually the guilty people are the ones that aren't implemented or indicted in what happens. The guilty is usually the scapegoat. You need somebody to blame. And so that sort of is, that's what happens in number four. You search for that person that you want to blame. And then, of course, you punish the innocent because you need a scapegoat. You need somebody to say, well, it's his idea or her idea. And so you punish the innocent. And then, of course, there's always praise and honor for those people that were smart enough never to be involved in the first place. It's the human condition. It's sort of the way that we approach things. That's the way we are. We start something and don't finish it. We begin something and then procrastinate about it. I read a story not too long ago. I don't know if it's true or not. I'll let you make up your own mind. It's about a man who goes back to his childhood home 20 years later, and he's in the attic, and he's sort of looking through stuff, you know, kind of thing where you go home and your parents say, you know what, we still have stuff up there. Go look at it. I do that with my kids all the time. But anyway, he's in the attic, and he's sorting through stuff, and he comes upon an old jacket of his, and he's sort of rooting through the pockets just, you know, out of curiosity's sake, and he finds in that jacket a receipt, and it's a receipt for a pair of shoes that he had taken to the shoe repair place 20 years ago, and for some reason had never bothered to pick them up. And so just sort of on a whim and part of the joke, he said, you know, I wonder if they still have those shoes. I wonder what would happen if I took this receipt to this shoe repair place. Fortunately, the shoe repair place was still in business. So he walks in, doesn't tell the clerk anything about what had happened, and he hands him the receipt. And the clerk takes the receipt. He goes in the back room. He comes back out and he says, yes, this will be ready next Tuesday. That's just the way that's the way human life is. But here's the thing. Imagine if God treated us the way that those six phases in those projects go. Imagine if God treated us the same way that shoe repair place treated this guy's pairs of shoes. Fortunately, he doesn't. One of the staggering sentences in the Bible comes in Paul's letter to Timothy, the second letter. This is what he says. He says, if we died with him, him being Christ, then we will also live with him. If we endure with him, then we will reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. But here's the important part. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. If we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot disown himself. It's a great description of our God. Understand that's not a license to sin. It's not a license to go out and do anything that you want. Rather, it's a motivation to love God even more because of his faithfulness to us. And then we come to the last section, that last little part of this verse, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it on the day of Christ Jesus. Paul tells us when all of this is going to conclude. In the ancient times, perseverance was a very valued quality in a person. That idea of hanging in there till the end. But see, back then in the ancient Near East, the philosophers and theologians, they thought that things ended when you died. That was when you finished the race, you fought the good fight, all that kind of thing. Things ended when you died. Paul says, no. He says, that's not it at all. He says, this plan, this work that God is doing in you doesn't end when you die. It ends when Christ returns. Because when Christ returns, he's going to set everything that's wrong. He's going to set everything right. He's going to resurrect us. He's going to redeem us. He's going to fix the broken world and all the broken pieces in that world. And so the work that God is doing extends. It started before you were born, and it extends after you were born. You have to understand that your life is just one piece. It's one piece out of this project that God has been working on throughout all of time. It's one piece. We need to recognize that Jesus is the author and the finisher, or the perfecter of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all that's going on. And here's the point to all this, and that is that God has invested a great deal, not only in your life, but also in this project called human salvation and human history. And he is not going to quit until it's completed, because it's not in his nature, it's not in his DNA to quit on us. I heard a story about a group of husbands that were gathering together, and they were sort of kidding and joking each other. And it was a couple years ago, back when the government was having that cash for clunkers thing, you know, where you could take your old car and get a new car, get a credit for a new car and get cash back and all that kind of thing. Well, they were sort of sitting around talking and laughing and saying, you know, gee, I wonder what would happen if the government extended that offer to wives. In other words, the wives could, you know, turn in their old husbands and get a newer model. And so they were sort of laughing and kidding about that. And then one of their wives walked up and asked what they were laughing about. You know, they were a little bit nervous, but they told her, and she said, are you kidding me? She says, it's taken me 50 years to get this guy into shape. Why would I want to get a new model? In the same way, God has invested a lifetime of his love, his compassion, his guidance, his protection, his education, his teaching, his correction in you. He's not about to give that up. He's not about to quit on that project, which is you. He is faithful to complete it on the day of Christ Jesus. That's the first part of what Paul's talking about. God has started something, and He's not going to quit. That's not in His nature. But here's the other side of that. Paul says, God isn't going to quit. Here's the other theme. You don't quit either. Listen to these texts, all in Philippians. Listen to what Paul has to say. Whatever happens, as citizens of heaven, live in a manner worthy of the gospel. Whatever happens to you, don't quit. You stand firm in one spirit, striving together with one accord for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way. Whatever happens, you don't quit. Whatever happens, you stand firm. And then he says, how do you do that? Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And then the last thing he says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way. Paul says, God hasn't given up on you. God has started a work in you. He has a lot invested in you. Don't quit on Him. Maybe you've been praying for somebody for years, and nothing seems to be happening. A number of years ago, I was talking to somebody, and they said to me, you know, I've been praying for somebody for years and years, and nothing's happened. It's going nowhere. And I'm really wondering if God even hears my prayers. And so they said they just sort of stopped praying for this couple. But then recently they said they heard that this couple is starting to make steps towards Jesus Christ, that they're engaged in a church and they're going to worship and they're engaged in a Bible study, and God is just slowly bringing them to faith in Him. And then the person turned to me and they said, what do I do when I realize that God has been more faithful than I am in my prayers for my good friends? Don't quit. Maybe you're a parent and you're really sort of at your wit's end because your child is making every bad decision possible. And you don't know what to do. You've done everything that you know what to do and how to do, and yet they continue to make one poor choice after another. Are you going to hang in there? Are you going to be supportive? Not enabling, but supportive, and there's a difference. Maybe it's an issue of you're at a place, at a point in your life spiritually where you just feel like quitting. That you've been wrestling with issues spiritually. Maybe you're angry with God and nothing seems to be getting to be resolved. Are you going to hang in there a little longer and let God work in you and through you? Maybe you're in the middle of trying to work with a habit. Maybe it could be an addiction, one of those secret addictions that you don't want to talk about. What are you going to do with that? Maybe it has to do with a habit that you've developed that you just can't seem to get through. Maybe it's your struggle is with taking care of your body. Maybe your struggle is that God has asked you to share your faith and you're wrestling with that with somebody. Maybe it's God's asking you to work with a group of people and you're finding it to be very, very difficult. It's much more challenging than you expected. You know what? It's so easy to quit. It really is. At least we think it's easier. But the truth is that whenever you quit, it doesn't build any character and it doesn't help you make decisions in the future. Paul's message to the Philippians and to us today is twofold. The good news of the gospel. What is so great about the gospel is that God does not quit on you. And because He does not quit on you, you do not want to quit on Him. You do not want to get to heaven and look back and say, ah, and have a regret about what you didn't do while you were here. God always, always does great work. He doesn't do it in our time. He does it in His time. But it's always the perfect time. Think about that. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we come this morning and we think that maybe for a lot of folks here that they might be stuck. And they need you, they need to hear you say that you are my son and you're my daughter. They need you to confirm in them that you're doing great work. They need you to encourage them. So, Lord, we would pray this morning that in the quiet of this hour and in our time of worship, that you would provide healing for those for which energy and enthusiasm has led to disillusionment and maybe even to panic. Lord, give to them your peace and your power. We make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.